If you're stressed or depressed, anxious or just need a rest. If you're into your sport and you want to perform at your best, take a breath, take a breath, take a breath.
Hi, this is Matt and Tim, and welcome to Take a Breath, your health and lifestyle podcast centered around breathing to help you find balance and get more out of life. Today's episode features an interview with a very interesting character, Scott Townsend from New Zealand. Matt, tell us a bit more about Scott.
Over the last year, Scott's taught more than 1,000 humans to improve their health through breathing using the Wim Hof method. I first met Scott through the Wim Hof training in Melbourne, and instructor training, and I was really taken with his very chilled and down-to-earth kind of attitude. He's a very dry character. He's, in fact, one of the driest, crispiest guys I've ever met. Oh, he actually does also drop the F-bomb a couple of times in this. Here's a language warning. If you've got time, please listen through to the end, because Scott takes us through this really simple but beautiful breathing exercise that guarantee will change the colour of your day.
He has a very powerful message as well. So thanks for listening and enjoy the chat.
Oh, breathe. Take a breath.
We've got a special guest with us all the way from New Zealand. This is Scott Townsend. So, Scott, tell us about your social safety message.
So my social safety message, I'll ask Tim a quick question. So, Tim, what were you taught to do if you catch on fire? What three words do you do?
No idea.
From primary school, Tim?
Oh, jump on the ground and roll around, I guess?
Mm. That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
So stop, drop, and roll.
Okay.
Most English people are taught this, that if you catch on fire, stop, drop, and roll. But, you know, no one's ever really catches on fire much, but it's interesting.
Don't practice it too much, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, you know, you're 5 years old and then a firefighter comes in to see you and he says, look, when you catch on fire, or if you catch on fire, stop, drop, and roll. So you're sitting there freaking out thinking you're going to catch on fire one day. So it resonates with people on an instinctive level. Catch on fire, you just do it, people know it, right? So my thing is inside fire, strong emotions, too many thoughts, not enough here in the now, and just kind of struggling with the human experience, this inside fire, this feeling, you know, either in our head, our gut, or our stomach, we feel it.
Yeah, definitely. I see my son sometimes, he's 9 years old, and you can see that anger just inside. He'll get worked up about something and he can see that fire, and sometimes he knows how to settle himself, and sometimes he doesn't. That's that inner fire that you're talking about.
Emotions going wild.
Yeah, so I just kind of lump it all together, the emotions, the thoughts. But it's also the good inner fire, like when we really want to focus or in the zone, like the elation or the ecstasy or the super focus. So my thing is that when people catch on fire inside, stop, drop, and breathe. Stop what you're doing, drop into the moment, drop into your body, and breathe.
Stop, drop, and breathe.
Stop, drop, and breathe.
So the stop is?
Stop what you're doing. Just take a second to stop. Drop into this moment, what's happening right now. Not in 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 years, or 10 years ago. Just look around and acknowledge the here and now. Drop into the body. Take the mind out of the mind. Get into the body. Drop all your baggage, all that kind of stuff, and just take a big breath in. And then just let it go. So that's really my work at the core. It's those three words, and then it builds up onto all kinds of things from there. But it's really just to try and open the door to breath awareness for people that may have never thought of it before. Because we say words like meditation and mindfulness, and for a lot of people they're like, yeah, no, that's not for me.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the language or the experience inside of them to be able to take these big words like mindfulness, meditation, Wim Hof method or whatever and make sense of them, so they kind of just discard it. But whereas what is good about Stop, Drop, and Breathe is that it uses language that's already within people, that's instinctive, the Stop, Drop, and Roll.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's using language that they're already comfortable with. and it just opens that door for breath awareness. They then think about it, and once they start thinking about it, cool. And then, you know, if they want to follow this weird dimly lit path we've created, they can do that. But yeah, it's really just about, you know, when people are losing their shit, take a couple of breaths, create some space, you know, giving you the option to respond to life rather than react.
Stop, drop and breathe.
Stop, drop and breathe. So my thing is, you can always take 5 seconds to stop what you're doing, drop into the moment and take a breath just whenever you remember. Let's do that now. Big breath in the nose, bring it to the belly, pull it in, and just gently letting it go out the mouth. So there's lots of times throughout the day which you can just stop what you're doing, drop into the moment and breathe. A lot of the time in our life we're just on autopilot doing things, and the breath's usually on autopilot too. It's breathing 23,000 times in a day or something like that.
25 to 30.
Nice.
Sorry, the nerd kicks in.
Good. If you ask my ex-wife, I'm frequently wrong, so if I can be right half the time, I'm doing pretty well, I think. So please,
you're only 3,000 to 5,000 breaths out, so
it's not bad.
I wonder if it's more if you're really stressed out.
What, the 25 to 30?
Yeah.
No, that's the average person.
Okay, sure.
And if you're stressed, is it more frequent?
Yes.
Yeah, so these 25 to 30,000 breaths are kind of just on autopilot. And so are most people, you know, in terms of their life, the way that they're living, the way that they're thinking, you know, so they're kind of just on autopilot. But when you focus on the breath, and it really only takes one conscious breath, 5 seconds, stop what you're doing, drop into the moment and breathe, you then become the pilot. You know, you can take control of that breath, you can take control of yourself a little bit more. So my thing is, you can always take 5 seconds.
If you tell someone, oh, you've got to meditate for half an hour a day or an hour a day or whatever, you go, forget it, I haven't got that time.
Yeah.
But if you say, have you got 5 seconds, I think that's pretty achievable for most people.
Yeah, and just about setting little mental shortcuts. So maybe every time you pick up your phone, that's an invitation for you to be able to connect with yourself and take a breath.
Yeah.
Before you turn your car on, every time you do that, you know, maybe every time you walk through a door. So you set yourself these little mental triggers, these little mental reminders, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm on the toilet, so before I flush it or whatever.
Yeah, going to open the fridge, stop, drop, breathe.
Yeah, I'm opening my wallet, do I really want to spend this money? Take a breath. And I'm about to send a message. Do I really want to send that? First, you just take a breath. So there's all these little moments throughout our day which we can just connect with ourselves.
I like that, and that's relevant to a lot of work I do in clinic is around emotions. I use a technique developed by a Scottish GP and psychiatrist. It's called Mickle therapy, and the doctor was named Dr. Mickle. The idea is that in a lot of cases of chronic illness, he's not the only one that says this, but there's a theory around that basically we internalize a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And by internalizing stress, our hypothalamus, which is a gland in our brain that's involved, sorry, nerd alert a bit, is a gland in our brain that's involved with keeping homeostasis or keeping the body purring along healthily. And if things go out of whack with that gland in your brain, because it regulates every automatic mm-hmm. function.
Mm-hmm.
It regulates every endocrine gland. It regulates your immune system. It regulates circadian rhythms. Regulates a lot of brain functions like neurotransmitters, etc. What happens is, this comes a bit from neuroscience, and it's relevant to what you're saying, because there are, what they understand with animals and humans, well, we are an animal, is that we actually have two intelligent systems. We have the thinking or rational brain, and we humans know that one really, really, really well. So that's everything you've ever thought.
Mm.
And we know it because it's a little voice in your head. It's going all the time.
Mm.
And there's another intelligence in our body, if we call it that, in us, that's called what they would call the emotional brain centers. And its role, there to work together, the role of emotional brain, a thinking brain that I just mentioned, its role, or the rational brain, is to data processing,
mm.
problem solving.
1 plus 1 equals 2.
Yeah, if you're on looking at, or trying to find somewhere on a map, writing something on that sort of stuff. The role of emotional brain, it's pre-thinking. There's no thinking going on whatsoever at this stage. So it's a really primal or instinctive intelligence. Its role is to keep you happy, safe, and comfortable. So it scans the environment.
Looking, I like that brain.
Looking for any threat mm. to our sense of happiness, mm. safety, comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And if any threat is picked up, it's registered as a stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's no thinking there, it can't say, hey, body, mm-hmm. it will send basically a call to action to deal with that stress via an emotion. And the emotion's pre-thinking. So if I walk out in front of a car, I get that... that surge, or I don't have to stop and think, oh gosh, there's a car, I'd better get out of the way. It's, you know, I got to jump. And so how it works ideally, and in most animals, particularly animals who live in the wild, the body sends a message in the form of emotion. The data processing brain, the thinking brain, picks up the fact that there's a sensation going on in the body. What is it? I need to create an action. I need to deal with this call for action. If the interpretation and then the action deal with the original problem, body no longer needs to send the message anymore. Mm-hmm. And we go back to happy, safe, comfort. But what happens with us human beings, unfortunately, we become top of the animal kingdom by having a highly, highly sophisticated rational or thinking brain, and particularly recently we've been habituated or taught, be rational, mm-hmm. be strong, mm-hmm. don't be sensitive, mm-hmm. don't be emotional, don't cry, mm-hmm. don't be a girl, mm-hmm. tough it out, mm-hmm. push through, etc., etc., etc. So we're taught to actually ignore emotions. Mm-hmm. We feel emotions very strongly when we're a kid. Mm-hmm. You look at a child who's spontaneous, playful, vulnerable, in the moment, they could go from end of the world to bliss in a second, without any residual if you solve the problem for them, mm-hmm. but they're irrational. And then as they grow, they start to learn how to use this rational brain. But they're taught, and we seem to be conditioned as humans, to ignore emotions. So what happens to most humans and kids and what have you is that they start to learn to ignore emotions. Mm-hmm. So we forget how to be an animal. And so if we fail to do that, we mm-hmm. then fail to deal with the actual mm-hmm. problem that happened. We internalize that emotion.
The stress response is internalized,
yes.
rather than acted on. Instead of just serving as a trigger for us to do something, thing, they're kind of going round and round inside.
Round and round inside, and then if you fail to deal with the actual situation, it keeps coming up. The body keeps sending the message. You keep internalizing more and more stress, and it sends us into overdrive, basically. Mm. It's like we would describe it like you're running an internal biochemical marathon. So, you know, if someone with chronic fatigue, well, then there's obviously something that we need to figure out, what is the body trying to tell us. Mm-hmm. And it works incredibly well. And one of the things we do is we have to re-educate people to learn, how do I pick up what I'm feeling?
Mm, yeah.
And when you experience trauma or a threat, in order to reduce the pain, that, you know, our response to trauma or an animal's response is, it sort of takes you out of the body to reduce the pain, and then once the threat goes away, you reconnect with the body. So you see a dog and it deals with a big threat, and afterwards have a big shake, a few deep breaths, and they reconnect with their body. We don't do that.
Yeah, but that's why this stop, drop and breathe is so beautiful, because it's so simple, because you just reconnect, you know,
breathing just reconnecting with your body.
Yeah.
And often when the internal flame's going, you're often feeling stuff, but you really don't know what you're feeling, but your head might be going a million miles an hour trying to figure it all out. Whereas if you can actually stop, drop, breathe, reconnect with the body, it's like, well, actually, I'm feeling upset because of X, Y, Z, and you can tune into, what am I feeling?
Get out of your mind as much as possible.
Yeah.
Into the body, connect with the breath.
And that's why I think that's what really buggers us, is we're so in our head, we've forgotten to be an animal. And I've read, there's a book out there, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. And it's believed most animals that live in the wild don't actually experience post-traumatic stress like we humans do. And I think it's because we've lost that capacity.
I get it, eh? And like, I don't know, what you feel is real. You know, at the end of the day, life's really a feeling, I think. But you're right, we are numbed to that, and then we think we know what we're doing instead of feel our way through things.
Yeah.
And, you know, nerd alert, we're always stuck in the sympathetic nervous system state, you know.
Which is stress state.
So quite simply, pretty smart monkey on a giant rock flying through space, but for the large part...
So can you say that again?
We're just a smart monkey on a giant rock flying through infinite space and time, thinking we know what it means to be an adult. We've got bits of paper that tell us we're educated and all this kind of shit. But so quite simply, for, you know, millions of years to get to where we are, it's been man lives in cave. Cave safe, cave good, cave relaxed, you know. Sympathetic nervous system state, parasympathetic nervous system state, correction, rest and digest, we're chilling out, life is good. Now we come out of the cave. All right, we've got to be alert. You know, what's wrong in this moment? Where's that tiger? Got to stay alive, and we're, you know, we're in that kind of sympathetic state, that kind of stress response state. There's these things that can stress us out easily. But then we go back to the cave, and we rest and we relax. But now most people don't have a cave. Even when they're at home, chilling out, their phones making them like react all the time, or they've got TVs on, or people are yelling at them, or all this kind of thing. So, you know, I think like a lot of stresses and sicknesses and all that, they just come from us just being in this stressed out state all the time and kind of living in the head and not in the body.
So stop, drop and breathe.
Yeah, so quite simply, you know, whenever you remember, stop what you're doing, drop into the moment and breathe. You can rig your environment. I'm retarded 95% of the time, right? So when I'm smart for those 5%, I want to go around and tape all the sharp edges of my environment that I'm not going to trip over and crack my head open, you know? So you can rig your environment to... You can,
so fresh perspective.
I've never been to your house in New Zealand, Scott. It must be looking interesting.
Yeah. So my point is that you can rig your environment or set up your environment to kind of break these pre-programmed habits. For example, like I've got little stickers on everything, like on my wallet, on my phone, my laptop, around my house. So every time I see one of these stickers, it's just a reminder to stop and take a breath. You don't need stickers, but you can set these little triggers.
Yeah.
You know, just anytime you do something, and start small. You know, small bites. So
yeah.
A good one is every time you pick up your phone, before you start going Instagram, just take a breath. Just be cool, man. It's all right.
Yeah.
You know? So you can always take 5 seconds to stop what you're doing, drop into the moment, and breathe. And if then that feels good, you can take 5 breaths.
Yeah.
Fully in the nose, you know, and then out the mouth like you're blowing up a balloon slowly, or through a straw. The specifics on how you breathe, you know, we could sit here and talk for fucking weeks about how you should. At the end of the day, just feel it, okay? Feel it.
If you slow it down and feel it, it's better than what we're doing 90% of the time.
Let's do this now. We'll stop and take five.
Yeah.
Anyone listen, stop and take five. It's not 5 seconds, now we're at 5 breaths, okay?
So okay.
Just take 5 breaths. Slowly let it go. It's a nerd alert.
Hey man, how was that for you?
Yeah, great, man. Already feel a little bit different. So, little warning, if you're driving, you know, just take it easy.
Yeah, just feel it out.
You don't even need to take a big breath. No, it's just that awareness of the breath that brings you into the moment and stops your mind, stops you carrying on with whatever it's carrying on with.
100%. And so, like, nerd alert, pretty sure the science shows that it only takes about 3 breaths. To, you know, stimulate the vagus nerve.
Those 3 breaths.
Yeah, but we take 5 because I've got 5 fingers in it.
Just elaborate here, the vagus nerve being the nerve that...
Puts you back in your cave.
Yeah, puts you back in your cave. And it
in,
also,
in your happy place.
It also feeds nervous input to most of the automatic functions in our body. And that's the thing about breathing, is it's of all the automatic functions, it's the one that we can consciously control easily. And therefore, via breathing, we can control our stress response.
Mm-hmm. So whenever you're feeling stressed out, or you know, life's full on, or whatever, you're outside of the cave and you know, trying to figure it out, you can always take 5 breaths. Stop what you're doing, drop into the moment, take 5 breaths. It's going to stimulate the vagus nerve, kick in your parasympathetic nervous system, you're going to rest and relax and go back into your internal cave, so to speak. Think about times during your day that you can just stop what you're doing, drop into the moment and take 5 breaths. It might be before you make that stressful phone call or afterwards. Maybe you just got home and before you get out of your car.
On the toilet at work.
Hopefully pre-poo.
Not post, but
just with the way our brain is, we're so wired to be looking for what's wrong in every moment, but what's right is always there as well. So whatever you're looking for, you're going to find. So in those moments of stress, you know, instead of looking for what's wrong, look for what's right. What do I love? What can I give? What am I grateful for? And if you take a couple of breaths into the heart while doing all that, having an attitude of gratitude, thinking of, you know, puppies or something that you actually like, it's going to change your heart pattern. And your heart's going to start vibing the way that it should. Keeping in mind your heart is your body's center. It really is. You know? And I'm not coming from a woo-woo point of view. I mean, like, you know, the heart is the body's center. And so if you get that vibing right on the ECG, we can see that, then you see the head starts vibing and syncing with the heart on the EKG.
Talk of gratitude as well, and all the research on happiness has found that because of the way the brain works, you're more likely to be happy. If you pursue gratitude and compassion, it will make you happier than actually pursuing happiness.
Yeah.
the attitude of gratitude.
Yeah. We'll do another 5-breath exercise, but this time we're going to stick our hand on our heart, and you just want to bring your breath awareness into there. So with your hand on your heart, think of something that you're either grateful for, that you love, or that you like to give. So we're going to take 5 breaths in again through the nose and then out the mouth while thinking of something like that. So you can hack your system, and that's one way to do it.
Hand on heart, well, attitude of gratitude.
Not even hand on heart, like just attitude of gratitude. What do I love? What can I give? What am I grateful for? You know, because at the end of the day, reality is just a result of your intention and your attention. What place am I coming from? Am I coming from me? Or flip it upside down, we've got we. So am I coming from fear? Coming from love? What am I grateful for?
What am I grateful for?
What do I love?
What do I love?
Well, what can I give?
And what can I give?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, life's not about what you can take or what you've got, it's about what you can give, right? But I think the point that I'm trying to make in a maybe convoluted kind of way is that, you know, we're always in this stressed out state. A lot of people are on fire inside, burning alive, yet, you know, no one knows what to do. And when we focus on the breath and focus on what do we have rather than what don't we have, that changes our body, it changes our mind, it changes our physiological response to life. So yep, stop, drop and breathe whenever you catch on fire inside, whatever that means to you. And it can also mean positive fire as well, you know, when you're in the zone, when you're really in the zone. You can always take 5 seconds.
Eye of the tiger.
Yeah, eye of the tiger. So you can always take 5 seconds. Often you can take 5 breaths, even better, take 5 minutes. Yeah, just to focus on the breathing and see what you feel.
How did you come up with this?
How did I come up with
the stop, drop and breathe? Where did it come from?
Okay, so...
it's so beautiful, it's so simple, you know, it's so simple. Like since we reconnected at the Wim Hof course, I've been doing it myself, and it's so simple. You just go, oh, hold on a minute, stop, drop, and I think about dropping my shoulders, because a lot of people, you know, carry tension in their shoulders, and they're just chronically tight.
And the jaw.
It seems contagious or something, but I've got so many people I'm treating for TMJ problems, tooth grinding, temporomandibular joints, so jaw pain and teeth grinding at night, and so much tension around the jaw. And acupuncture works really well, but actually that's just fixing the problem. That's not actually going to the solution, and the solution is that tension. And in some people that can play out at night in tooth grinding. And so you're absolutely right, the tension in the shoulders, across the back, and tension in the jaw, when you can keep checking in and going, are my shoulders tight, drop them, is my jaw tight, just release that tension in your face. And if you do it often enough, then that starts to become a habit as well, that you're just checking in with yourself, stop, drop the shoulders, relax the jaw, breathe. Okay, now I'm getting complicated. The beauty is in the simplicity. Where did it come from, Scott?
So where did it come from? I don't know. I've always tried to help others in one way or another. Like, how can I use my experiences to ease other people's sufferings? It's like, don't push the red button or whatever, you know? That's kind of always been part of my, I guess, values, is, you know. So it was 2014, and I just sold my business. I'm like, what am I going to do? My mate's like, you should do some public speaking. So I go to see another one of my friends, and he was organising a speaking event. And I'm like, can I get in on your next one? And he's like, yeah, you can probably do this one. And he's like, I'll confirm with you later. So I get a message later, and he's like, yep, you're speaking in a day or two. I think 2 days or something. And it was speaking alongside on stage with the mayor of our city. It was for Hamilton's 150th birthday. There was this Pekka Kucha event, and you know, I was speaking with the mayor and a bunch of other people, and then there's me, and I'm like, I was freaking out. I'm like, what am I gonna speak about? I was in the workshop, and I was kind of doing a bioenergetic meditation, if that makes sense. It's just really anxious and stressed. It's like, all right, I'm just gonna shake it out, and kind of like just shaking it up, you know, not following any kind of particular method, but just being an animal, just trying to break my neurology. And, you know, I was doing some kind of sounds as well, and then the words stop, drop, and om came to me, which the talk was about, and then that quickly turned into stop, drop, and breathe, because om's a little bit too esoteric, but you know, that's maybe a building block later down the track.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's where it came from, was just freaking the fuck out, really.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, other people can benefit from this, and then it just, got groomed into something more digestible for the larger populace. Yeah. But so my vision with it the entire time, like, I came up with the idea, and in that moment I'm like, yeah, this is going to help millions of people. Like, and it's not me trying to help millions of people, it's these words can help people help themselves, because language creates our reality, right. So the vision all along has been, it's got to be something so simple that when they teach kids in school to stop, drop, and roll, they teach them just also to stop, drop, and breathe. So then the kids can go home and be like, hey, Dad, you're stressed out, old man. Do you remember to, you know, stop, drop, and roll? And then the kids can deliver the message and a few simple techniques to the parents.
Mm. And the kids are the ones who are actually most tuned to their feelings. They unlearn it the more they get older. And so they then, when you unlearn to pick up your feelings, you start internalizing stress more and more and more.
Yeah, sure. So I came up with the idea that was about 3 years ago. Since then, I've, you know, taught breathing methods and concepts to probably about 300 people. Not one person's turned around and said, nah, that's not for me. A lot of people have said, wow, that's pretty powerful. I'm like, yeah, it's free too. You know, there's simple tools that are under your nose. They're always there. They allow for, you know, self-control, self-development, self-discovery. And these things are not a luxury. They're a necessity. But they're always there and they're free.
Yeah, we take it for granted.
Yeah, we take it for granted. So since then, I've kind of, you know, confirmed my belief that, yeah, this is something that's going to help people,
yep,
which gives me the fuel I need to push it forward. I've set it up as a simple not-for-profit charity because I believe these things should be free, 100% free.
Where does someone listening to this find your charity?
The website's Stop Drop Breathe with an E, not breath, stopdropbreathe.org. That's the website, but I'm tinkering with it at the moment, so I've taken it down. But you can send me an email, which is scott@stopdropbreathe.org.
There's a Facebook page as well.
Yeah. When you said you check that out, I'm like, I haven't even posted anything this year on it. Because it's been a project for the last 3 years. Especially this year, it's been a really internal one. Like it's been a lot of internal kind of work and development and feeling it out. It's kind of like the breath. It expands and then it contracts and then it expands and it contracts.
Yeah.
And we're on a journey of about 3 years so far.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of the foundational work, you know, getting a feel for things. It's going well. And, you know, the plan is to be releasing Take 5, a free teaching resource that anyone can take, you know, without much knowledge, be able to deliver these simple breathing ideas and concepts to people. So I say, you know, take 5 breaths, because we can talk about breathing all day, but you got to get people to feel it. You don't want them to think about it, you want them to feel it. They take one breath, they're like, wow, I felt that.
Yeah.
Fill in a couple of benefits. Take 5 breaths. Now I really feel that. Now yeah, they're open to taking 5 minutes.
So in 5 breaths, you will feel different. If you stop, drop, and just take 5 conscious breaths, you'll feel something. Everyone will feel something. I really believe that.
100%. And then, so once you've taken 5 breaths, you're open to do 5 minutes. And you say, yeah, that's good. You know, do that for 5 days. And so over 5 days, I teach these 3 simple couple of breathing methods. So one, I teach the circle.
Yep.
So you get people to visualize the circle. But so we're going to start at the bottom and we're going to breathe into the top for 5.
Just got to pointing down.
Yeah, so.
And then we're breathing up.
Drawing
the circle.
A big circle with our arms. So like,
okay,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then we're breathing out from the top to the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Back down.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So yeah, I teach the circle, the triangle, and the square. The circle teaches us about flow. The triangle is in for 5. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Out for 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And holding for 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Across the bottom.
That's the one. And then the square, which you breathe in, you hold, you breathe out, and then you hold again. But the point is that, you know, it's there's 1 in 400 trillion chance that you get to actually experience life. So it's pretty cool to be alive. When you connect with the breath, you go from autopilot to pilot. There's lots of different ways that you can connect with your own breath. At the end of the day, you're your best teacher, so trust in those experiences. But there's some cool little breathing shapes that you can do to mix it up so you can play with it a bit. It's meant to be fun. Free mindfulness program, free breathing program, whatever, teaching resource called Take 5. There's some simple breathing shapes, yeah. And then I end up linking that into mindful walking so we can start thinking about the space in between stuff. But then the idea with that is just to get it out to as many people as possible, you know, because like the world's on fire, you know.
That's it.
And there's lots of mindful firefighters out there, you know, and it's time to, you know.
And everyone listening to this is a Stop, Drop and Breathe ambassador now.
100%.
So everyone, you teach someone else, you can stop them catching on fire. You've done a great thing.
Yeah, like I said when we started, what is it? It's a social safety message. You know, it ain't mine, it ain't yours, it's ours. Yeah. So use it in whichever way you can.
That's right.
Stop, really Drop good. And Breathe Townsend. Stop, thank you so much. Breathe.
Yeah, no, and thank you very much. You know, again, this is one thing that you can talk for a while about, and I feel it's only really just scratching the surface, and it is only really just the beginning. So while this has been something that has been 3 years in the making, it's a long, long road to go. But you know, that big tree that starts as a small seed always knows it's going to be that big tree. But firstly, it's got to germinate a little bit, and it's got to fight its way through that fucking darkness, through that dirt. You know, then it's got to sprout up, put some roots down, and it's got to weather those first storms. But eventually, you've got some big, powerful, awesome-looking tree. If that's where it's at, humble beginnings.
Well, we're glad to be part of that tree,
yeah,
Scott.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, guys. Yeah.
Take a breath.
Great interview. Thanks for listening. When I wrote the show notes for this interview, I had never met Scott before we did the interview, in the process of interviewing, and that it certainly struck me. But when I wrote the show notes for the interview, the message was really, really, really reinforced. It's such a powerful message. So whenever your internal fire is raging, remember to stop what you're doing, drop into the moment, and breathe. Or take a breath. It's such a simple process, but it can really change the colour of your day, as Matt said.
Yeah, thanks. So please leave us your comments, leave us your likes, leave us your feedbacks, any questions, we're happy to answer. We'll pop up a video about the breathing shapes Scott's talking about. They're fantastic breathing exercise for kids and adults any age. So thanks again.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Jump on our website, www.takeabreath.com.au. See you later.
All free.